Welcome back to the Hard Sell. We are the Luxury Pickers. As always, we buy and sell and...
Sell and buy.
Sell and buy. We predominantly specialise in luxury goods, pre-owned, and we show you how or tell you how or help you through how to sell them online on different platforms across the internet. We predominantly sell on eBay, Vestiaire, Vinted and Depop.
Me, here you go.
Yeah.
I was going to give you a hand, but I thought, no, let us struggle.
Thanks, Oz. but we do use other platforms as well, and we have a large in-face customer-to-customer base. However, I know we talk predominantly about eBay because that is a platform that most people use and most people draw comps and comparison prices from.
Yep. I think that actually is an interesting topic in itself. Just the fact that more recently we've been kind of dealing with different people from different platforms and speaking to different people and what they sell and how they buy. More so sell obviously than buy, but also source. And what's very interesting is most people have said themselves until they realize that realistically what we do is, we use eBay as our generic tool because I know most people use that, but the reality is there's plenty of opportunity other places.
100%. In fact, we actually, speaking of our week very briefly before we get onto topic, I actually was delving into the world of Hardly Ever Worn It, or some people might know it as HUI or
HUI.
HUI is H-E-W-I, but it stands for Hardly Ever Worn It. And I set up an account on there thinking, you know, going into it quite blindly, I haven't actually personally used it to even purchase from. It's just not one of those sites that attracts me to it. And, but I know it has a large following, et cetera, et cetera. You will normally see it on adverts on planes for some reason.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, actually, the most high-end magazines, things like Vogue and stuff like that, they advertise, whereas that's kind of Vestiaire doesn't.
That's probably why I've seen it on a plane, because that's the only time
reading,
I ever buy
a magazine.
Vogue. Yeah. Anyway.
Or Tatler Harper's Bazaar or something, yeah.
So I thought I'd delve into it and look at it for you, so you didn't have to. And an interesting thing about it is I uploaded a couple of items. It is a pre-owned site, and obviously you can sell pre-owned new items as well, newer tags, etc. But their rule by thumb is that the product can be no older than 3 years old. And if it is older, it has to be what they deem collectible or have a demand. So I assume they're talking about very popular styles of like Louis Vuitton and like Louis Vuitton Keeples and
things which are kind of
Chanel flaps.
Feel contemporary, even though they're kind of 2-3 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is quite a statement to make, really.
I think that's hard work. I'm going to be honest,
yeah,
you know?
I don't think it's for us. I don't think I can put enough time into that as a niche site
to make it viable.
Take out all my items that are 3 years
old.
I think it would just be like hard to manage. However, I thought I'd have a look at it. So
for research purposes, if nothing else,
I guess.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
In comparison ways.
So it's been a long week. It's January, the week before payday. Everyone's feeling the pinch, unless you're like super rich, and I'll serve those people too. I don't mind. But you can sort of tell there's like a shift almost
Actually, even in the last few days, like now it's getting better for sure for this month. But even in the last few days, I feel sales have been okay for January, but it's January, you know, like you just said. But they've definitely in the last kind of few days, they're on the rise again.
100%.
So I don't know if some people are like, okay, we're close enough now to payday and we can still spend a little bit we were putting aside for kind of that rainy day before the end of the month. But once again, I think it's weird. Some luxury selling, some kind of regular, what I'd call everyday stuff selling, it's never a case of, you know, some people say, oh, this kind of time of year, the only people who spend are people who have, you know, kind of a lot more, if you will, financially. I don't think that's true. I think it's cross-section. It's just interesting the way that kind of, it's peaks and valleys.
Well, as clothing sellers, some clothing becomes, I don't know, people call it niche. It's not really niche. Everyone in the world wears clothes, apart from nudists.
That's so funny.
So it's not a niche.
I'll be honest, even those nudist people, unless you live on a remote farm and you've never worn clothes.
They have to wear clothes
at some point. They're wearing clothes. Yeah, I agree.
So actually, in theory, it's
not
a niche at all.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
Anyway.
Well, I suppose the only people who would call it niche are everything sellers.
I guess people, what I'm trying to say,
That's such a good point. I've never thought about it like
if
that.
If you don't need clothes, it's not top of your, like, I got a buy. And then what? Then I say that as well. If you need socks, you need
but
socks.
But I was going to say, you don't have to be reading Vogue or Harper's Bazaar on a monthly or be aware of anything which going on in the fashion world to actually own and buy clothing.
Yeah, okay, so that's interesting. That's an interesting...
That's another topic for another day, I reckon. That's another topic for itself. We always say that at the beginning of our podcast. Speaking of which, this is number 13 for anyone who cares.
Number 13. It seems like we've done loads more than that. Anyway, so it gets us smoothly into our topic today, which you probably read from the title, but we're going to talk about markdowns, promotions, coupons,
and... Sales in general.
Sales in general across all platforms. Obviously, there will be probably a key focus on eBay, because once again, that is the most popular platform. However, we're going to talk about them on all the platforms so you can better understand how to use those different tools across all your selling sites. But I thought, what a great week to do an experiment. And
so tell us about your experiment. What did you do and how long has it been on? And give us some kind of details regarding sales.
So as everyone likes to tell us, we've got 1,200 and something items on
our main
one eBay.
On our main eBay.
I wouldn't call it our main eBay.
I'm saying as regards the kind of the main. When I say main, what I mean is that's our first one. I always think of it as our main.
Our oldest one.
So yeah, that's exactly what I mean. So that I always class that main because it's first. It's like our shops when we've had different shops. The first one was always the main one, even though it wasn't the biggest or necessarily the most kind of, you know, fruitful.
Anyway, so there's 1,200 items on there, and you know some items have been on there longer. As everyone knows, we play the long game. I'm not going to complain about a 5-minute sale. I'm also not going to complain about a week turnaround, but I also don't complain about a year turnaround because most of our stuff in the higher higher prices is more specialist in terms of the fact that you're not going to spend every day £1,000 on a pair of leather Hermes shorts.
No, 100%. And I actually think to add to that, a lot of people have said recently to us, kind of, if you were to, and this is where kind of this experiment kind of stemmed from, and it's very interesting, as Bethany will tell us now, but a lot of people have said to us, well, if you were to have a kind of that, you have the really more really expensive stuff, but you have only paid X, Y, and Z for an item, why not like half what you'd charge kind of on the retail end and still make a huge amount of money? Well, you'll go into details of why maybe that doesn't work right now.
I like to price based on the market, and I like to price based on the worth of the item. Now, there's the worth of the item, and then there's the worth of the item on eBay. I can sell a £7,000 car of the road outside your house. No, for £7,000. And then on eBay, no one wants a 1972. Yep. I don't know, Triumph, whatever.
Yep.
So it literally depends on your market, the eyes, etc., etc. I think a lot of reselling is we pin back to eBay, and I completely understand why, but we're all in different markets, and what we try and do is give the broadest advice where we can in terms of general knowledge when we're not talking about actual fashion, so that you can sort of apply the same principles to, say, like a colander or a knife set. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. So what you're saying is, if I have a colander, for example, I don't. Well, I do, but I'm not for sale, right? I have a colander, and we get the question a lot with clothing, obviously, but there's kind of varying comps, or I can't find any comps, or there's not one available. So for my colander, there's no comps. Now I can either think, well, okay, I paid £2 and I've seen them go for 50 brand new, so I'm going to put 25. The reality is they might have been all sold out, and the particular colour I've got is rare. It might actually be worth more than retail, or could be very close to retail. Me putting up for £20 doesn't make me an authority on it. So you checking a comp that someone's done that way doesn't actually make that comp any more official, I guess you'd say, than someone who's charging 40.
Well, I put on Instagram yesterday, we picked up in one of our YouTube videos, we're over on YouTube at the Luxury Pickers. If anyone hasn't watched us, you should
go watch everything.
But I put up a sold. We bought 4 days ago, we bought a Yves Saint Laurent early 2000s free button pinstripe blazer for £2 in a charity shop. We don't normally pick up free button because the style isn't as fashionable at the moment with the men folk. It just isn't. People like the one button or the double breasted or something like that. Anyway, but we couldn't not, for the brand, we couldn't, it's going to make more than £2, I should say that. Anyway, I listed it very quickly. I listed it the next day and I put it up for £100 flat, expecting offers over 75, and that's what I was happy with. Once again, I list with a little bit of leg room so that people can make offers, and then when the offers come in, I'm not umming and erring, it's just a straight, let's go.
Let's go, yeah.
However, I put this up for £100 flat on eBay, Depop, Vestiaire. I didn't put it on Vinted. I don't put high-end on Vinted, but that's a different subject altogether. Anyway, I put them across that for those three platforms. They all had equal opportunity. I list on Vestiaire first, and I cross-list on eBay straight away. And then I use Sipsell, which is a cross-listing app, to then go across to Depop. Anyway, so they're all up at around the same time. It was probably late at night, because I do most of my listing late at night. The very next day, we get a message on Vestiaire about the blazer that we didn't actually pick up the message, because it's one of those messages they send and then they paid. So he said, well, can I offer £90? And then within literally 2 minutes, they paid the full asking price of £100 on Vestiaire.
Yeah, I think when people do that, I mean, I think I've done it myself, I'll be honest. You see something, you think, I'm going to try and get a little bit off this. And then you panic and think, well, if it sells anyway, for the sake of £10, just buy it. And I think he just bought, you know.
And the point of the matter was, and then I got flooded with messages saying, I've had an Yves Saint Laurent blazer on eBay for £75.
Yeah, we had lots of those.
For over a year. I've had, there was one that had it on for ages and things like this. And that just goes to show, is a prime example of putting the pieces on the right platforms and getting the right eyes to them. You don't know, and I don't know, which platform is going to be right for that item. I do know if I pull it across all three platforms, I got three times the likelihood that I'm going to get the right eyes on it, and that's some chances I like to take.
So what you're saying is, and it's a very good way of looking at it, and we've been guilty of that in the past, but now we're kind of dealing with more and more marketplace, it makes more sense, and specifically for what we do. But the reality is, even if you're putting on somewhere where maybe you wouldn't necessarily, you personally wouldn't think that it's going to sell, why not, for the sake of, like you say, with Zipsell, for an extra few clicks, why not have an extra marketplace on the chance it could sell, or however, that might be a better chance than eBay anyway.
100%, you know? Yeah.
You're giving yourself better odds.
Yeah. Anyway, so what we decided to do with this markdown, or I decided to do it, we've got dead weight, everyone's got dead weight, is the, you know, the name of the game.
It's the luxury of being a reseller.
All my low end I cross-list to Vinted, and to be honest with you, it's an odd thing because I cross-list it to Vinted and normally it sells faster on Vinted than it does on eBay and all the dead wood's still sitting there.
Literally, however, I know, yeah.
However, it is a great way to sort of like merge out any sticky stock, etc., so on and so forth. One thing I never do is I never adjust my prices for a different platform. I learned this from a Instagram reseller, American reseller called eBay Princess.
I love eBay Princess. Yeah,
who does, she does a lot of Whatnot Now, and she also deals in real estate, which has come off of the back of reselling.
Now wholesale, she buys in for Whatnot and so on, high end.
But she still goes, she buys out like old general thrifts. Stores. Yeah, yeah. She still thrifts anyway. She said years ago, she said one of the key things that she does is she never adjusts a price on a different platform. And she gave a really good reason for this. And I'll try and dig it up and I'll put it over on Instagram. And ever since then, I've always kept the same price. I think you take away, someone was talking about reputation the other day, and it's less about reputation, but it's more about the fact that if people know you're going to list cheaper on Vinted, they'll just wait for it to go on Vinted.
Yeah, of course.
If you build up that repeat clientele, I mean, that doesn't necessarily apply to single purchase clients or single purchase customers, which you get a lot on eBay. I understand that. But it's just a general rule of thumb that everything gets listed for the same price.
Yeah, so what you're saying is, so for example, say you get a 12-15% on eBay, and Vinted is, as we all know, as much as not an official kind of reseller platform, we do know that obviously there's no fees.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to cost you anything to sell it. So technically you'd make more money, right? So what you're saying is some people would allow for that and put it for a little bit more on eBay or a little bit less on Vinted,
yes.
Right? Now, once again, what you're saying is, but from the outsider point of view, it's like, well, why is it £15 there and it's 20 there? What you're saying is confusion within the market and your market specifically. That way, if you can't afford what would be the extra, okay, in some respects, like you say, maybe if you're on the naughty side of eBay, 15%, something like that, maybe even more. But the reality is, if you haven't based that into your profit already, well, that's kind of your bad to start with, I think.
And customers don't care about your fees.
No.
And they don't feel that they should pay your fees either.
They want it as cheap as possible.
And that's true. So I never adjust my prices for Vinted. Low-end stock gets cross-listed. Low-end, when I say low-end, I mean high street stock gets cross-listed on Vinted and eBay. And then high-end goes to Depop. and Vestiaire, as well as eBay, and then Vintage also goes to Depop and Vinted. So it's a very complicated system we got going on. It's much more easy when you work it out. However, I decided I've never run a markdown sale. I've been dabbling recently in coupons, promotions, and I've been working out
I had visions, sorry to interrupt you, I had visions then of you couponing in the supermarket. I was like, you didn't tell me about this.
Love to go to America and just coupon everything.
Sorry, coupons as regards eBay, my bad.
And I've been trying to like work out when the best time is to apply them and whether it makes a difference at all. So I've been dabbling across the board.
And you picked a really, like, if I'm honest, from an outsider standpoint, just to say, I think it's the most stupid time ever, but I'll tell you the reasons I think that. Based on the fact that we just said that a lot of people aren't really kind of, they're not really at the moment at this part of the month kind of spending so much, right? I actually think this is the best time, although that sounds ridiculous because people aren't spending. Why would you put promotion? That's the best time to put promotion on. The reason in the first place retail had January sales was because everyone had, you know, done their you-know-whats over Christmas and cash was kind of low. They had to get rid of excess stock they had for Christmas and they got it through January just to sell to get out the door.
Yes.
You know, the lower prices were to get people in because they knew people didn't have as much in January.
Yeah, 100%.
So there you go.
So what I do is I have a blank. I use promoted listings generally, right? So I have the minimum 2% on most of my listings now. I have promotion on all of them, but I'll tell you why. Firstly, I've always promoted at between 2 and 5%. So when they put up to 2%, it made absolutely no difference.
Yeah, people went mental at one point, but didn't they?
And I understand. I completely understand. But if it really does 2%, I understand the principle of the matter, and I also understand that eBay already taken off. I understand that.
We agree with that.
However, if you're not in the fight, then you're not going
to
win.
No. And I also think if you're not willing to put up to 2%, like my concern would be what are your actual margins, you know what I mean?
Right. So, and if you're really, really, really concerned, honestly, just put your price up 2%.
Yeah.
Then you just account for it across the board.
Exactly. 100%.
However, I've always done that. Early in the month, at the end of last payday, early this month, I dabbled with putting everything up to 5%. What I was finding when I put everything up to 5%, the sales were really good, as always. Sales were great. However, I was finding
better than without?
This is what I'm going to say.
Okay, sorry.
I was finding that the sales I did came in all were coming in promoted, whereas before, when I didn't have the promotion on, they were selling by themselves.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
So you don't know that, what you're saying is you don't know that they sold by promoted, or it just so happened those items that you'd put promoted were the same items would have been bought without promotion.
Yeah.
Right, I'm with
you. And so I didn't see an increase in sales.
Right.
It was about the same.
Okay. Right.
However, when I was looking at, like, when I was doing my postage, every 4 or 5 items was sold via promoted listings, whereas before, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
When I had it on 2%, because I went from 2 to 5, when I had it on 2%, it was about between 2 and 3 out of the 5 were sold via promoted listings. So the actual number of items that I sold didn't actually really change. Like, you know, anything can change monthly, like here and there, like a few here, a few there, but there was no noticeable difference by adding 5%, apart from the fact they were taking more fees.
Right. On the so I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and what you're saying is the number of sales, kind of overall cost of sales, blah blah blah, very similar, right?
Yeah.
Difference was they were taking more. So my argument, if I'm Mr. eBay, I'm going to say to you, well, actually, those extra two or three items which you sold normally on the kind of 2% average, if you want, they actually wouldn't have sold at 2 or 5%. At two or three percent. They actually sold on 5% because it was more interesting to a buyer. It's just you can't see that because you took it from that to that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you'll never know that.
There's always that element. Anyway, so then I took it back down to 2 across the board, right? And there to see whether my overall like statistics of page impressions, page views, and things dropped.
Did it?
Like a rock in a pond.
Really?
Yeah. I like to keep positive. I think I heard Rally Roots say you want to keep positive 20% on impressions, etc., and click through traffic and things like that. So I try and keep that above 20%. And I went from like I thought it was like 60% and it went -4%.
Well, because obviously it was accounting for the last kind of few weeks or whatever.
And then I was like, well, I've got to let that plateau out again. So the more you list, the more that goes up. It's just a natural thing. I list on that account because I am near the threshold of a medium feature store. I list 5 items a day that I normally draft banked in the evening times and I drop them in the mornings. And then it differs on my other accounts. But on that account, that's what I do. And then those are 5 cross-listed to Depop, 5 cross-listed to Vinted. I would like it to be more, but I
that's what you do.
I'm keeping it steady.
I was just going to say as well, for anyone listening now might be shocked as you said 5 listings, because a lot of people are under the impression, once again, this made up crazy algorithm, and I don't say it's made up, there is an algorithm with eBay. What I'm saying is, when I say made up, is no one knows what the thing is. So people are making guesses as to what it is, and most people say it should be 10 listings. We did 10 listings for years and years and years, and then you tried to 5, and do you know what happened? Nothing. We had the same amount of sales and we had the same amount of income coming in for the 5. The difference was we could further that across platforms and start banking some of those.
It was more about consistency.
Yes.
So I would go on like a listing binge. I would do 30 50? In a night, yeah. And then I wouldn't do any for a few days. The whole point of listings is consistency, and I do truly believe that. So anyway, sales are really steady and I dropped it down. I listed and I got that regulated. I got my impressions regulated, etc., etc., etc. Anyway, so then I thought, I'm going to run a coupon and see if that makes a difference. I hate coupons. They're rubbish, right? I know everyone's going to experience different opinions and have different results. So I put a 20% coupon across the whole store for a long weekend.
Okay.
Over payday.
Okay.
I sold 2 things on the coupon, 20% off.
And the rest weren't.
So that's fine. But it did bring traffic to the store and it did bring my impressions up more. Do I think I sold more other items outside the promotion that weekend? No.
Okay.
I did, but it did bring eyes to the store and it did get all my promotions up, and that's okay.
So do you think that when you actually click to kind of agree with eBay that you're going to do that promotion or run that kind of discount or promotion or however it is worded, do you think in their minds they're like, okay, switch the tap on a little bit more, give them a little bit more flow, right? So obviously impressions wise and everything else, they shoot up, okay?
Yeah.
Then what happens is you decide to take that thing off. So in your mind, oh, look at this traffic. Great. Eventually that will turn into sales or has turned into sales, whatever else. You turn that tap off, and you just said previously, what happens is it dips substantially because, once again, they switch it off.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's not that they're necessarily teaching you a lesson, so to speak, but I do think they almost panic you then into, oh my gosh, I wasn't on this when I had 2% on.
Yeah.
So do you think there's somewhat, I think it's always messy. I feel like it's messing with your mind. Not you personally, I'm saying in general.
Everyone's always trying to work out the algorithm, and we need to just work out how to be a salesman.
Yeah.
It's about being a salesman. Like, I know it sounds, I'll talk more about all the different things I did in a minute. It sounds really silly, and I've talked about it before, and I know in cases I get really passionate about branding, and I get really passionate about storefronts, etc., etc. And if anyone knows like our background of visual merchandising and graphics and stuff, and that's what I like, that's what I'm into, right? And I find it fascinating how you can grow businesses through branding, and it's one of the most important things. If McDonald's didn't have the golden arches, it's an iconic, rememberable thing. Yeah. Coca-Cola's red.
Yeah. Starbucks is green.
Starbucks is green with a mermaid. Like everything is impregnated into your mind. It's a marketing, the adverts.
You even
the
have
promotions.
Those apps nowadays, which are literally like, they're like quiz apps, which have logos on,
yeah.
Which people go through thousands of logos. What I'm saying, the logo is that important that you remember it. Even if you've never used or bought from that product or that service,
yeah.
You'll know that logo. That's how important they are.
But that reflects right back down into presentation. The everyone always says, and I 100% believe, consistency is the key to anything in life. Not just eBay, not just YouTube, not just, I don't know, podcasts or, you know, anything. Consistency. If you're trying to build something or if you're trying to do something that has a
it's going to have an end
progression,
goal. Yeah.
It's consistency. Having consistent, not necessarily routine, but a consistent thread of hard work and something you do. Does that make sense?
100%.
Is the key. And I think that applies to everything. It applies to how many things you list. It applies to the consistency in your photographs. I love seeing other people's photographs. I the more I get deeper and deeper into just eBay, for example, I don't necessarily believe the white wall now is the be end and all. I don't think it's necessarily like the key to all sales.
Success. No, right? I agree with that.
However, consistency is. So if you are choosing to photograph your hard goods in a set background, you know, where, you know, you can see it in situ.
Like grass, fake grass or floor,
your
background
figure of a Buddha next to a lamp, and then the next time you put your figure of the cat next to a lamp and you can see how it would look in a home, etc. I truly believe you need to do that with every single picture. Then you need to have a consistent background.
Well, I think we spoke in it last podcast, and we mentioned that when we built a little photographic studio here, really, at home, we made sure that it was not only had continuity from what we had before, but also literally replicated to the T. And we actually spent a lot of time and money making sure that was the same. And it sounds so silly, but from going to spending so much time on photographs and an official background, if you will, and then just kind of putting up on the back of a door. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but as long as all your photos are the same, sweet.
If you
use a mannequin, use it for everything.
You can build a repeat customer client base by using marketplaces, you have cracked it.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah. I agree.
Because marketplaces are very much seen as a one buy situation. Like, you find the
never
thing
see you again
want, and the next time you want to look for something specific, someone else is going to have it, especially in the pre-owned market. Now, we have hundreds of customers that are like look for certain things, mainly. Like, I have a huge group of Mulberry people that come to me for straps, that come to us for certain years of scarves
I actually think that's something someone mentioned this week about kind of what we do on eBay, what we do on BDP, what we do the rest of it. I think still a lot of people don't know, because once again, it's not something we really not choose to cover, but we don't cover on our YouTube or even on the podcast, you know, to any degree, is we still do a huge amount of what we used to do in store, but we now do kind of client to customer, whether we go and do full kind of handbag collections, whether we buy, whether we sell, whether we do wardrobe clear outs. We do a lot of that. And a lot of that stuff, which obviously isn't necessarily not shown, but we don't see so much because we don't sell. We kind of sell to our clients who have already got someone lined up, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's quite interesting that even that, we spent so many years building that reputation and that kind of storefront and that kind of rapport with the customer that, like you say, that was our kind of physical, that was our physical representation of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You kind of build that so people do come back to you.
Yeah,
you know?
100%. So anyway, going back to mods. So I tried the coupons, right? I do run them every now and then just to see if it was like fluke or whatever. But the only thing that appeals to me about coupons is they have to pay the full ticket price. So they get 20% off the full ticket and they can't apply any other reductions to it.
Okay.
So they can't ask for best now and then
I understand.
Use the coupon. Yeah.
Yep.
But you can still get tapped with your promoted listing fee, so you have to pay that into
it works both ways.
You have to pay that into account too. However, I tried, so this week, the biggest experiment we've ever done on eBay, and then we'll talk about other platforms.
This sounds mental when you're going to say it out loud. Go on, say it.
I applied 50% off the entire store, and yes, it gave me crippling anxiety.
Bethany looked like she was going to keel over when she pressed like confirm.
Right, so you could only do a maximum of 500 items, so I had to do half the store.
Yep.
Right, and I just picked at random. I just picked at random, literally a mixture of low end, high end, homewares, shoes, children's wear, everything. Like I wasn't even thinking about it. I reduced a £1,675 cape down to 800
half,
quid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just said, let's do it because our margins are there. We're comfortable with that. And I wanted to experiment and see if it would have an impact.
See, now in my mind, just from a like a more buyer point of view, right? I'm thinking like this MacBook better blow up with sales, like ding 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 ding, like that. Like we're selling some things which are worth market value wise £1,600, £1,700, £1,800 at half price. We should be off the Richter scale with sales.
Yes.
And what happened?
Sales have gone up. That's like there has been more physical sales.
Yep.
Right, money wise, half last weekend, Because it's half price.
There you go.
So it makes no sense.
So yeah, you sold.
I got rid of a few pink things that were like meh pieces that like they just went for £15 quick. Someone got a good deal. Like, I'm not really bothered. I'm still making a profit. They're old. They're boring.
I felt like I had to call like people we deal with on a regular and say, do me a favor, just buy a bag off us. You're going to get 50% off just for the sake of it. Do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I would have bought my stuff at 50% off.
It's bizarre. And so we sold a few of those items, but that didn't obviously equal like any, like not even 100 quid. And then I was like, so basically what's happening is they're buying the really cheap stuff and then it's half price, so it's really cheap. So that's like, of no, I could just chuck it over to Vinted and get the money. So
and make more.
Yeah, there's no after fees, etc. Yeah. There's no real point to that. And then I was like, oh, someone's got to get a bargain. Like, someone's got to.
Yeah, I would want someone to get a bargain. That's what I'm saying to you.
I sold, I guess the biggest bargain someone got is they bought one lady bought a Ralston dress from us and a Vivienne Westwood dress and got the two for £140.
Yep.
But that's still good money. Like, I'm still making a significant profit.
But you were talking, it would have been £280.
Yeah, so you know, she got normally. So she got a bargain there. The biggest thing I found was the amount of stupid offers that were actually time consuming to my life, having to tell people to do one, is like something would be reduced down to £15. Say I had these like all Akili egg cups, right? Reduced down to £15.
Which would have been 30 originally, right?
Yeah, which I was actually pushing with that comp. I was trying to push the comps because these egg cups weren't that popular and I probably paid too much for them. I paid like £6 for them or something. So I was pushing it with 30 and expecting to get like a cheeky £20 offer and I would take it, you. Right? So they reduced down to £20. The first thing I get
15 they reduced
15,
to.
15, sorry, yeah. Sorry. I get an offer for £7.
So half of the half. So you
half of the half.
So they had 75% off, and you're getting 25%.
I had more
before fees.
Yeah.
Before fees.
So I had more silly offers than I've ever had in my life.
And do you know what it was though? Just to clarify, that
it was reduced. No, they want to get rid of it.
They weren't silly offers though. They were just offers based on the prices, inverted commas, we'd put them up for.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, I've done it before. You don't care about the discount. You're just like, that price is that what I'm paying now, and there's an offer button. So I'm gonna go for it.
Yeah, you but know? In most cases,
it's annoying though.
In most cases, I would have those up for £30. Someone would offer me £20, and then I would go home.
Or even so, 18, you'd like £20. Let's go. Yeah.
So I'm actually pro with the opposite of a markdown. I'm pro with the increase.
And you know what? I'm glad actually that's something you came away with that, because I was always of the opinion, because we'd never done some so drastically that kind of mad percentage, and I was always of the opinion that do it. Like I say, I think it would be gangbusters. You'd kill it. There would be loads of people offering on great products, and I think the problem is, firstly, to ever to kind of get their reaction, I think it has to be on a long time. Well, as soon as you put that on a long time, when you eventually put those back up, which we'll get onto in a minute,
there's
a big problem. And so we'll get onto that now. So I don't kind of just start talking on that where I should. But I do think there is something to be said for stick to your guns, up the comps like we always try and do. And if you get a discount, or listen, if you're looking for, you know, to make some money quickly, I get it. But I think once again, be thoughtful and be mindful of the items you're putting up at half price, and bear it on based on the fact they're still going to make an offer.
I have to say, like, if you're looking to have just a mass clear out and you want to get rid of as much as possible, you're better off auctioning. I think you're better off just doing a single price auction and seeing where things land.
I mean, sometimes we've picked like, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 items at random and said, you know what, let's whack them on auction just for a bit of fun, see what happens, because it can be fun.
Or taking them off completely, or cross-listing them over to Vinted and seeing what you can do over there. Try a different platform, boost it that way. The one thing I say is the impressions went through the roof. It really like pops off that way. Did I sell more full price items than I normally would? No.
No.
I didn't.
So what you're saying is, it wasn't thanks to eBay, right? Let's get that straight. It was thanks to you saying, I'm going to knock half price off all my items. Those items sold because they're half price.
Yeah.
And the other items didn't suffer. But you didn't get any better for it either. So eBay really haven't helped you.
I want to see on the back end, when the prices tonight go back up to normal prices, whether people are going to be like,
buy.
Oh no, I missed that. I'm going to offer something.
I think that'd
be interesting.
I think it's going to be interesting. And my guess would be, we'll maybe mention this on the next show, but I actually think my for me as a buyer, if I've seen something as 50 quid and I was like, oh, do you know what? I made an offer. No, they declined it. Fine, 50 quid. Oh, I don't know about that. If I see then on a Sunday or a Monday, that's gone up to 100, I'm like, oh, God, this is bad. Because we know recently, for example, Vivienne Westwood went kind of through the roof. Certain items, especially full label, because obviously she passed, went through the roof. Now, a lot of people panic bought. And we saw a lot of Vivienne Westwood items because people were buying. We didn't up our prices, but we didn't lower them, right? That's fine. What I'm saying is, on this kind of thing, I do think people might think, oh gosh, so why has it doubled all of a sudden overnight?
Yes.
Maybe I have to make an offer 75 and you'll still be better off.
I'm more of the opinion, right? So I put things up. I do a lot. I've spoken about it before. I base my prices off of multiple platform sold comps and retail prices. I do. And what's in demand in terms of style wise, what's in, like, I'm watching trends and watching and seeing what's happening in the fashion world, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's kind of the key to what we do.
That's what we do, right? And everyone runs their businesses differently, but we can tell you how we do ours. And if you want to try some things we do, or if you want to find it interesting or whatever, I find it interesting knowing what other people are doing. And if I see if I can implement anything they're doing onto mine, and likewise, because it's nice seeing it on a different side of the coin from people that are selling different things that may apply to what we're doing here. Anyway, I find what works best for me personally is if something is gaining a lot of traction, and I have this one item on Vinted, and I've mentioned it before over on Instagram at The Luxury Pickers, is an Avisu, which is the denim brand. It's like a little tote bag.
Yep.
It's a denim tote bag. I picked it up from a boot sale for £4.
I think that was in one of our YouTube videos,
actually. In the summer. Took me ages to list it, but eventually I did. And I've listed it. It's on all the platforms. Well, it's on Vinted and eBay, right? And I put it on Vinted. It's had over 2,000 views or something like that, and it's got like 200 watches, right? Yep. I am waiting. I'm sitting and waiting. I might do it this week and report back to you next week. I'm gonna up the price.
Okay.
Because you panic people.
That's why I'm not saying psychologically
damaging or anything.
I think it's a retail trick.
The price it was up for previously, because they're like, oh no.
All of a sudden, like I say, if it was 50 when not, you know, originally, and they were going to offer you, for example, and I'm just throwing these numbers at you, offer you 30, and you're like, nah, not really, cool, it goes back. But once you've put it up to say 70, 80, or maybe 100, right, just to be really drastic about it, they offer you 50, and they think, oh, it's got, at least I can get a half price. No, that's the original price it was last week.
Yes.
But you think you're getting a bargain now. And I'll be honest, even from years and years ago, we were in, even before we did management or visual merchandise, in sales in some of these luxury companies, it's brutal. But it's all a game. Sales is a game.
100%. Everything is based on psychological warfare 100%. In terms of sales. Right?
I'll tell you another great example, actually. This is a quick side note, but I often think about this, and I've never really mentioned it on a video or in the podcast. You know, in a charity shop, great one, because obviously predominantly most people listening to this have been in or go in a charity shop regularly, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was waiting for you to answer me.
Yes, Austin, so, we regularly go into charity shops.
So, you know the stuff in the cabinet?
Yeah. If it was outside the cabinet, it would sell quicker.
So, I got two scores.
Or would it? Does it sell quicker? Does it sell quicker because it's in the cabinet and you think it's special?
Now, so there's two scores of thought. My initial school of thought is, after dealing with members of the public for years and years and years in very, very, very kind of high-end situation, luxury situations, and knowing people don't sometimes want to ask to have a look at that thing and want to touch it, right?
That's my reservation. I hate asking to look at things.
I think a lot of people agree, but I think that's from where we come from as regards career-wise, because we knew eventually, I would kind of almost, if I knew someone was looking for a certain thing, I'd start walking to the stockroom, inverted commas, with a few items in my hand, and can I have a look at that? Yeah, and I would kind of go past and hope for the best, and they all of a sudden, oh, can I have a look at that? So that was that, and that was kind of a sales tactic, if you want. But I think that's where we come from that. On the flip side of that, I also think, so what you were saying is, if it's in the cabinet, it kind of becomes less asked about and less kind of looked at. On the flip side, you're mentally told that if it's in the cabinet, even if it's rubbish, technically, that it's more expensive or there's more value to it, because why would they put it in a glass case if it wasn't?
I also think a lot of the time they put it because they don't want it to be stolen.
Yeah, fine. Maybe smalls. You see things like thimbles, don't you?
Yeah,
you
know? I've seen a lot of like lower price things in cabinets of recent times. I suggest, because they just don't want them nabbed.
Yeah, which is fine once again. By the same token, there's lots of bits and pieces you'll find, smaller things.
But you're saying it's psychological warfare.
It all is. Whether for whatever reason, I'm trying to make the point that there's different ways to look at it, you know?
Displays.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's a reason. Like, for example, if you look at most people's homes, nowadays I know glass everywhere is kind of the thing, but most of the time from a front of a house, even if it's a large house, the front will have smaller windows than on the back, for example, because you don't want people necessarily looking into your home. On a shop, they're ceiling to floor glass because you want to see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? It sounds totally obvious, and for most people it is, but I'm saying there's lots of different things that we don't realise just by the nature of them that they do without us thinking about. And I think this goes into the online version that, once again, these little tips and tricks when you upping the price, we were just talking about now, not upping the price at all, even doubling the price you were originally, for people who are watching the item, is a bit of a panic buy situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I also think, now talking about other platforms and their promotion methods, there are a few which I rate. I really, really, really rate Vinted Spotlight. I think it's fantastic. It's $6.95.
Yeah, you love that, yeah.
Yeah, $6.95 for 7 days. And you get, I don't care about followers. I don't really know what that means on Vinted. I guess it's people that want to look at your page regularly, but I don't think it is.
I actually think it's more, most of the time, it's more people, if you know someone who is selling, you kind of follow them to see what they're selling.
I follow people that sell specific things, so I'm looking
for
something.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But it really, really does increase favourites. And every single favourite that I get on a Vinted page, both of the Vinted pages that we have, I send a offer.
Yep.
I send offer. There's no fees. There's more room for movement. I send offer. And the majority of my sales come from sending offers.
Yeah. And this is not necessarily, once again, if anyone hasn't used Vinted, you can send an offer to anyone, right? But you've got to be aware of that person. So the way you're using that kind of, what would be kind of, you know, when you take a name and address in a store and kind of email them out information about a sale, you're basically using the fact they liked it to go back to them and saying, hi, I know you just like this item.
Yeah, because it might be a bit pricey for them or whatever.
So would you like a fiver off it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or 10 or 20?
They either count to me. Or they ignore me.
Which is fine.
But that, it really does double sales. Now, the only thing I say about it is I never do them consecutively. So I'll do one, I'll leave it a week or so, 2 weeks at a push, and then I'll run another one.
You mean Spotlight now? Going back to Spotlight, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so far, that consistently brings money in. At the moment, we're doing about, I don't know, between $1,000 and $2,000 a month on Vinted.
Yep. Platform.
Yeah,
what I'm saying, on each account, I should
each
say.
Account.
Yeah,
right. And what you shouldn't be scared with, I know Vinted's not for professionals. I know that, right? So keys to solving this equation, please, Vinted, don't listen to this. Use a name that is completely different to your eBay account. Don't make any connections between any other accounts that you have. Make it as personal as possible. Use your name, or don't use your name, save yourself security. Use your dog's name or the street you live on.
Use something that is totally nonsense. It doesn't matter.
Like Buttercup 74 or something
and
like
you'll
that.
Find as soon as you have a few feedback, people will buy from you either way. If you could be called, you know, user 792 and it won't matter. Yeah. It won't matter at that point.
I consistently keep between 500 and 700 items on there. They're not looking for how many items are on there. They're looking, they take particular notice of newer tags. They don't like newer tags in huge quantities because they see it flags a machine that says wholesale.
Yeah.
Right?
100%. I think even more so, they would be at that point, they're scared about the big boys kind of like, say, for example, it was wholesale Nike. They're worried about Nike coming at them and taking them on. Whereas eBay have the controls and the measures in place and the kind of the situation in place that they can deal with that, whereas Vinted just don't.
Don't use the same account to buy and sell. They see you buying those £5 Adidas trainers and then relisting them on your account with nicer pictures for £25. They hate that because you're obviously reselling. That is an obviously reselling. I mean, on some occasions you might have bought them, they didn't fit. But if that's happening repeatedly, then
exactly
it flags.
That.
Also keeping large amounts of numbers in your pending balance. Every time my amount of money drops into pending balance, I withdraw.
Do you know, someone said to us the other day, what would you do if Vintage just shut you off? And don't get me wrong, it's an avenue we make good with sales on. But to be honest with you, it sounds stupid, but you know what I would do? it would close it and I'd open another one. And I know that sounds terrible, but the truth of the matter is the only difference between them is having to list all those items again. And with a cross lister, it's not a huge issue. The big thing is I've heard of people having thousands in the account on the balance.
Because
if you know how Vinted work, you can have a balance which you haven't sent to the bank or whatever else. And they will shut you down with 1,000 in the bank or 2,000 in the bank or in the balance, I should say. That's mental. If you have 100 or 50 or get to your bank, it's I think some people use it as almost like a boast. Like, yeah. For me, it's the biggest red flag ever. Get it out, put it in your bank.
Yeah, 100%.
It's unnecessary to be there.
And, you know, live every day like it's your last. Live fast.
And just to clarify, a lot of people think, yeah, exactly. And a lot of people, I've heard people mention, you know, as regards tax and everything else, regards Vinted. Now, Vinted technically, obviously, is not a business platform. However, if you're making X, Y, and Z, you need to mention that. By the same token, if you're buying to sell, no matter what platform, if you're buying to sell at a boot sale, technically, that should be mentioned to the tax man if you're making enough money. So that's relevant. You should always mention it in your taxes. Simple.
100%.
I'm not giving you tax advice. I'm just saying when you're making X amount of money on anything, you should mention that and you should have the receipts to prove it, which
also,
we do.
It's also the same with eBay and not having a registered business account. Ours are registered business accounts because, you know, it's just easier for us in the long run. However, you can have a personal account and still run that through taxes. It is.
Yeah, that's a lot. There's nothing illegal about it.
There's nothing illegal.
I think people get that
it.
Twisted sometimes, I'm saying.
Yeah, I think people use them to hide from the tax.
Of course, and I get that.
However,
but if you're straight, you're straight. If you're bent, yeah. There's no difference.
Yeah,
you know?
You can still, you know, report all your earnings to the tax man. That's okay.
What I'm saying is because Vinted, a lot of those places we're talking about are actual for professional sellers. Because Vinted's not, don't be concerned about, oh, should I be doing this? Just mention it, whatever
what's
you have to, and
it's
fine.
Income into your business bank account.
And that they'll always ask. They always ask your income. That's it. And that's part of your income. That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, we won't talk about that right now. And so the spotlight, I really rate on that. I've never done individual boosted items because I have too many items. But if you have like a small amount of items and there's someone you want to sell particularly, I suggest maybe trying it out. But I've never personally used that, so I can't comment on the singular item boosting. Now the other one is Vestiaire is all about the markdowns. They're constantly hounding you for marking down your items and constantly ignoring them.
You say constantly. We list an item and we get an email to say this item should go on sale at, because it would be like £250 we put up for, and the last one on their website sold for, or what will they'll send you a like item, which is it's never the same item at all, which is so annoying. But, and they'll say it went for £48. Because someone messaged the other day about, I've been told already my item's too expensive. No, they've said that they want you to lower your item. So you sell the item, they get their chunk of profit, and they move on to the next sale. They don't care how much you get, because although they get a percentage, what I'm saying is they just want more sales.
Yeah, they just want
because
you to listen.
If they had 100,000 people at a pound, it's better than 10 sales at a huge, huge, huge money sales.
Yes.
So they would rather have multiple sales as opposed to a few large ones. Their business model. So ignore.
So Vestiaire, there isn't anything, but Depop have an interesting thing. So Depop, everyone knows, is it's a resale site. You can only have 4 pictures, which is terribly annoying. However, they have this system that if you edit an item, it goes to the top of your bank of items for sale, and that reloads onto their website as a new item in terms of visibility. So there is
this
thing
item,
that
we call
repopping because it's Depop. But I don't think anyone else calls it that. If you do call it that, then yeah. So we call it repopping, and it's where we edit but don't edit every single item in our catalogs every day, twice a day, and it brings all our listings to the top. So if you're searching Stella McCartney bag, my listing's at the top twice a day. Do you know what I mean? Unless anyone uploads anything else, we're going to stay relatively close to the top in terms of searches.
100%.
And that every time, I have to say, because Austin sells more predominantly vintage, lower cost items, because some of the vintage is really expensive.
Yeah, but I would say the average sale cost is definitely lower on mine than yours, for sure. Yeah, I agree with that.
Every time he repops, there is a chance he gets an offer or sells something. That is a fact.
Honestly, I would say. And you know, the mad thing is, so a couple of weeks back, kind of just after Christmas, there was a couple of days where we were doing something. I don't know if we were doing videos or whatever we were doing. And I didn't. So there were one or two days I didn't. I went back on, I said, I haven't repopped for ages. I'll go and do that. I did it, I think, within an hour. And I'm not exaggerating, am I?
No.
And now I had a sale and an offer on a separate item as well.
Yes.
So it works. It does work. And I think the argument I heard someone say once was, yeah, but everyone can do that. But that's like saying, okay, so so-and-so is a billionaire. What did he do to become a billionaire? Oh, he did X, Y, and Z. Well, everyone can do that. But not everyone chooses to. It's a big difference.
Jeff
you know
Bezos
what I mean?
sold books in his garage.
Yep.
That's the end
But what
of
I'm
that.
Saying is you can know exactly how he did it. That doesn't mean you're going to go out and do it or want to do it or you're part of it. What I'm saying is just because someone else does it or can do it, doesn't mean they're going to. So just bank on the fact that yours are going to be at the top all the time and it's a good thing.
And then one thing we're dabbling in with Depop at the moment, which Austin has done on and off, but you haven't done recently. We put everything in the store I sort of
manage,
which is more the higher end clothing, etc. We put everything on there boosted. Now, I have had no results as of so far. I've no offers or anything like that from this. However, we will give you an update, a running update on this. So they take a higher percentage of fees for it. However, they try and produce results. So it doesn't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're just going to charge you that and leave you kind of dead in the water,
and they
right?
Don't charge you to itself.
Well, I was just going to say though, if you base it on the fact, I look at it this way, right? If you base it on the fact that you're going to boost it, so I think it's around about 12% you get charged by all accounts by Depop, right? And then I think it's another 8% for boosting. So you're around 20%. From my point of view, that's the year charge pretty much that anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
15%.
And even eBay, 12, 15%, whatever it is your percentages on of whatever kind of thing you sell, et cetera, and how your account is. So if I'm only talking about 5 or 6 or 7%, but it means me selling the item on Depop as opposed to anywhere else, I'll do it all day long. But not because it's better or it's worse, but I want to sell it.
But on the other platforms, you might take an offer anyway, which will reduce the price anyway.
And this is my point. I've heard people argue that the point of, the boosted listings on Depop, that's nearly 20%. Okay, so say your eBay is 15%, right?
Yeah.
You've got something up for, £100, let's make it easy. You give a 5% discount, which would be £5, right?
Yeah.
So you're now down to £95, which is still an amazing sale, right?
Yeah.
You're back at 20. You're back at 20% that you've got lost.
Psychological.
And it's £5 off £100 item. It's mad. So what I'm saying is, when you look at it like that, it's not even up for argument. It's a stupid argument.
I think you just have to be more cautious of the offers that you take, more cautious of the offers that come in when you're using an extra boosted.
Well, you've technically taken 8% off it already, haven't you?
You have to do what you're comfortable with.
Of course.
I'm saying, once again,
for me, I don't understand why.
No, 100%. I completely understand that. But I will get back to you with the results of that.
Yeah.
And if anything happens, I do a repop, so maybe something will happen tonight. Maybe
yeah, true.
Not. But I repopped yesterday for the first time in ages, and I did a £50 sale on a shirt that's been on eBay for the same amount of time. So.
Exactly that. I was just going to say, with repopping as well, like Bethany's store at the moment, that takes like an hour to do.
Yes.
Kind of go in and edit and go back through. Like it's mad. It takes about an hour. So it's an hour out of your day, don't get me wrong. But what I would say is...
ZipSale offer a repop service.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, now, I haven't used that, so I can't come on that. I do love ZipSale, and we love how ZipSale works with us, right? That's not... I haven't used it for that yet.
I might add it.
And do you know what I was going to say? I'd like to try, and I tell you why. Because a few people have used bots in the past. There's a few bots which do repop tools. So you kind of click it within an hour, and it kind of does like a human being would. But I've also heard they've had stores closed down.
Yeah.
So what I'm... Because technically bots are illegal, right? They're not legal to use on their site, or they don't like it at least, so they can close you down. Now, I don't know how legitimate that is. I don't know if that's just hearsay, because you know how resellers are. Resellers, they say, like we do, you know, people talk and they have their own versions of something, and you speak to three people down the line and the story's changed dramatically. But I'd be interested to understand how the ZipSale one worked, because I will say everything, and this isn't sponsored, I wish they would, but everything from ZipSale at the moment has worked perfectly.
Yes. Well, I just downgraded my package on ZipSale.
Okay.
Because I had the 500 listings, which was £36. I've downgraded it to 200 because I'm only doing that 5 listings a day on that account.
On that account,
so
right,
I might add up. I'll add the Depop repop on.
Okay.
And then it would even out the money.
Yeah. Well, once again, it would save an hour of the day.
Yeah. So anyway, so there's benefits and negatives to all markdowns and promotions and coupons across all the sites. The other smaller sites, obviously, are a lot more simple to navigate and to track, etc. And eBay has all the bells and whistles and, you know, the fire alarms and all that. And they can coax you in with this idea of markdown and all your items will sell.
I've got to say, maybe like I don't think I'm an idiotic person or stupid by any stretch. I mean, other people might have an opinion on that, and that's fine. But I would say I expected a heck of a lot more. I don't know about you from that kind of crazy reduction.
I just thought, that's just
ding ding ding. Like I said to you at the beginning, I literally thought it was kind of like, you know, the Vegas kind of jackpot machines.
A lot of
ding,
watchers ding, ding, and ding, a ding, lot ding. Of not. But I will give you an update and see how if any of the panic offers come in once the prices go up. I'll let you know how.
What's your thought on that? I'm going to give you my prediction.
I think a couple items will go on that.
I think we'll have a few items, but once again, I don't think it's going to rock the world. I don't think it's going to change our business overnight either.
No, I think the key to eBay is consistent listing, a mix of goods. Like I like to do, we call them hard goods, but it will be like ties and shoes and handbags.
So it's still in our realm, but it's not just clothing.
So I like to mix it up significantly. I like to do, I'll upload 5 tops one day, I'll upload 5 trousers the next day, 5 dresses the next day, 5 pairs of shoes the next day, and keeping that consistency in the mixture of goods that are going up. So you're hitting all the different things that people need. Especially when you're in a hashtag niche not niche situation, and keep an eye out and be aware of the presence that you have on eBay, your storefronts, your logos, your layout to your storefronts, and working on maybe repeat customers. Have a look at repeat customers, and you know, and what you have to offer that you can, you know, sort of like, so if you've got a lot of vases, you could, on your storefront, you can set up a link that it goes, a category link, and that it's just vases, and it goes straight to vases, and the people can browse like vases of the same elk or homewares of the same elk.
So if I'm like looking
Scandinavian.
So if I'm looking for some trousers, for example, or like, yes, you can do the same thing for, I'm talking about clothing reseller now, I can go straight to trousers and check all your trousers out.
I do my own brands.
There you go.
So because we're high-end specialists, I do Gucci, Mulberry, Dior, etc. Awesome. I haven't updated them in a while.
If I'm one of our kind of our Mulberry fans, which we have a lot of because of where we are in the country, I can click on that, I can go in there and check all your Mulberry gear.
Yes. And then having
Call it gear again.
Having a consistency in photos, think of it very much like you're shopping for yourself on Harvey Nichols or Selfridges or Harrods.
Yeah, yeah.
And the consistency in stock photos, everyone's loves stock photos, and I know we all love using them as a point of sale, you know, where we put them as stock photos where we can find them. That's because they're so concise and you can see the item so perfectly, and it advertises the item well. You can do that too.
But once you say it to yourself, it advertises your stock perfectly, and I'm afraid no one's going to, I don't care who you are, this goes for us, this goes for anyone listening, I'm afraid when a company has put money into, and I'm not saying that they'll be your favorite photographs, but when a company has put money and time and effort into photographing an item, they've done it properly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that press photo, that kind of original photo, will probably be one of the best ones you'll ever get.
Think of yourself as a salesman, and your eBay store, your whatever store, is think of you having a brick and mortar, and it's a reflection of what someone would walk into.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what you would like to see if you were shopping secondhand. I think there's this big like notion behind secondhand still that is secondhand, and that do we really want pre-owned or there's this automatic, like when someone orders it, you can tell what customers are going to do it, but like when a customer orders something and then they get it and they're not happy with it because they've got this pre-owned notion in their heads.
Yeah.
Give them a reason to think that it's not.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's something as well for stock. No matter what you sell, no matter what genre you're from, I think, I like the word genre as opposed to niche.
Genre.
Because I think niche, once again, you just made fun of it, and I think you're totally right too, and I couldn't agree with you more. Like, you know, if I sell copper miniature monkeys, right, that's a niche. Clothing is not a niche.
No.
You know what
and
I mean?
I just thought of that today in this podcast. And if I'm going to take something away, because you learn something new every day, and you're probably going to see me barking on Instagram about it, but clothing isn't a niche. It's not a niche.
It's only a niche if you sell everything in the world. And I'm afraid, I think
like selling train sets is a niche, because there's only a percentage of people that wear own train sets.
Or
in
interested
the world.
In train sets.
Or like Pokemon technically is a niche, because you're literally doing one category and a huge amount of toys.
No, I'm not saying Pokemon is not you know, a global thing and very, very popular. What I'm saying is, I promise you, there are people who have never heard of Pokemon who wear clothes. That's what I'm saying. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's a fact. You know, no matter what language you speak, no matter where you're from.
Do you think more people have heard the name Chanel than Pokemon? That's a question. Ooh, that's like, is there more wheels or legs?
I'd probably go on, it is, but I think I'd probably go on the Pokemon side.
Would you?
Yeah, I mean, I just think and I'm not, once again, let's clarify, guys, I'm not knocking anyone who's into Pokemon, but that's not something I know anything about. But I would say it's such a phenomenon, okay. You know?
So as every luxury brand in the world, because that's technically our niche, yeah, in inverted commas, do you think more people have heard of every luxury brand in the world or Pokemon? It would be the luxury brands, right?
I would say luxury brands, yeah,
because
for
sure.
Because
there's so many of them.
Yeah,
because, so they're bound to have heard of one.
Yeah, I agree
every
with that.
Every person in the world is bound to have heard of one unless you're from a
let's not
tribal...
even do luxury. Let's do clothing brand.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I agree.
Oh, interesting. Anyway, we've been the luxury pickers. This has been the hard sell. I need to
this
have
has been a
5 minutes in a dark room.
I do that to people.
We're not going to teach you how to resell. We're just going to hopefully help you get better at it. And
talk about Pokemon.
And talk about Pokemon. And don't forget, the Reseller Summit is coming up in March, March 25th. Tickets go on sale on January 25th. We have loads of things that we haven't announced that we will be doing that vary from our just standard YouTube and podcast content.
Some fun stuff.
Fun stuff. And we'll see you there. We'll see you at the bar.
I'll see you at the bar.